Radio 3 for a Tuesday. Let's whiz over to Aussie, but up a bit to normal and say hello to Maurice Misiolowski, business futurist, foresight, whatever, lots of multi-award-winning chap. How are you?
Yeah, very good. After that build-up, I'm not quite sure what we do next, but
nah,
let's go.
Well, look, I tell you what, Maurice, I think now and again, it's time for us to say, well done, Maurice, because you've just won yourself a couple of cracking awards, but they're not just for being bright, are they? It's very useful stuff, and I'd really like you to share it with us, much as it might pain you.
Yeah, first of all, I won them, but I won them on behalf of a startup that I sit on the board on.
I know.
So,
yes. See, modesty. Modesty so, to the core. Let's talk about the project. So, congratulations to you and the startup.
Yeah. So, I've told you and listeners that infinitum about Griffith University, about Queensland University that I'm connected with, disability research, 300 researchers. One of our attachments is a group of people headed up by a wonderful doctor Gary, who has come up with this incredible concept, and the concept's called enabled.vip. You can look it up on the internet, enabled.vip. Is their website. What he came up with is, so Gary is a person with disability. He's lived his life since 2007 in a wheelchair. He suffers from multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
Despite all of that, or because all of that, he is a most incredible entrepreneur, has been all of his life. Multiple sclerosis came into his life in 2002. What he wanted to do was to understand how he, as an entrepreneur, because he actually runs a global consulting group, plus does all sorts of things at Griffith and elsewhere, and he wanted to understand why there weren't many people with disability in the entrepreneurial space.
That's an amazing and dead simple question, isn't it? You wouldn't ask it.
Well, you wouldn't, and it is dead simple. I mean, it seems obvious from the outset, but it's not. When you think about people, and this is terrible because nobody fits into a box, yeah? Mm. But if we take an average conversation, people with disability often find it difficult, depending on their disability, to do a 9-to-5 job. They are also, unfortunately, often at the behest of their disability. Some days are good, some days are bad. Bad minutes, bad moments, you know, all that kind of stuff that we have in life normally are just exacerbated. So for a number of people, it's almost impossible to gain full-time employment. There is also the notion then that they need to do something. Now, the pitch was not just about doing work and making money, but take the thought of how incredible we feel when we've actually achieved something, when we're working, when we're doing something beyond the normal limitations of living with a disability. So it has incredible social, it has incredible, you know, soul, I think, soul developing activity. Purposes behind it, but also, of course, goes to the heart of being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So what Gary realized very quickly was that there was no support system for people that have a disability.
Well, can I ask you a little bit, what specifically was the support system that, I mean, the obvious thing is, why shouldn't people with any disabilities be entrepreneurs? However, what was it that he specifically needed, do you think?
For his own use?
Yeah, I mean, the you're talking about a support system. I mean, obviously everybody has different needs. I wonder what area Gary needed support in.
So, well, for him, he didn't, because he's an overachiever. But he looked around him and tried to figure out other people. And that's true of him. I mean, he's a dynamo. You know, he just doesn't stop. There is no barrier for him. But what he realized was that many people had not been into the entrepreneurial space. Okay. Now, being an entrepreneur is not an easy thing to do. There's a mindset to it, a set of practices. There's also the practicalities of running your own business. How do you start it up? What systems, protocols, what government interventions do you need?
And, Maurice, is entrepreneur still the correct word in this day and age?
Well, I'm not sure, but it's the one that people love to use. It's a hackneyed phrase. So. And it was also the notion of being able to find other people with disability for support, for conversation, for peer-to-peer understanding. Sure. You know, how do I do this? How do I manage that? If I'm not able to do things that I need to run my business, how might I be able to find technology or other people to do it? Mm. So what he's put together is a network of people that have disability who are entrepreneurs somewhere on that journey, from absolutely just having the thought to starting their own business. He put together a mentor group that allows those people to make use of mentors around Australia that either have a disability or don't, depending on what the need is specific to them. He also is developing up in conjunction with Griffith, which is where we come into it, a set of learning materials, which are modules. Step one, step two, step three, how to license, how to do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
What this is an online program, and it's purposefully online because it allows a person with disability to use the program where and when and how they wish and learn as much as they need to or do the modules they want to do or use the network as they need as support. So it allows them to come in and out and do whatever they need to do. It takes them from the first thought of maybe being an entrepreneur is something I might want to do to actually starting up their business and being able to search and take on their first customers. That's the journey.
It sounds amazing, Maurice. I'm curious at this stage of your explanation is what, I mean, this sounds like a brilliant resource for anybody. What is it that's involved in this that is specifically for people with a certain level of ability? Because it sounds like a brilliant idea for all, to be honest.
It does, but this is 100% purpose-built for people with disability.
Right.
Now, in Australia, we have a system which is called NDIS, which is a government-backed system. What it does is to support people with disability with physical needs as well as cash needs. So it's kind of like a social security. Now, the reason we bring that into the conversation is that what Gary's been able to do, which is different from anything else, I know everyone says this, but different from anything else, is that his program actually sits as part of NDIS funding.
Okay.
Now, NDIS has 512,000 people with disability on its books, which is the vast majority of people with disability in Australia. One in four people in Australia have a disability.
Mm.
Four out of 10 people in Australia have a disability. 40%. If you put carers and if you put carers and family of people with disability, it goes to 70%. So what this system does, what this set of activities does, is it allows people on the NDIS to have the NDIS funded. And the program costs so much, you have no idea. It's $10 a month to join this. And it's $62.17 if you want a one-to-one peer-to-peer online or physical conversation with somebody to support you in a particular activity you want. And those figures, those charges, are 100% the charges that NDIS will cover. So there's no out-of-pocket expenses for anyone who's on the NDIS to use this program. Mm-hmm. And that's the cohort that we're after, 500,000 people with disability on the program, some of whom might want to look at entrepreneurship as a way to give them funding or stimulus or whatever else, and they can then get the funding from NDIS to join the program.
So this thing is called, what I'm reading here, Maurice, Early Ethical Entrepreneur Pitch Competition. Do you just want to give us a bit on that?
Yeah. I do. So this is a totally independent crowd. It's been around for quite a while. Every year they run a competition looking for early startups. Early startups are somebody with, you know, a relatively new idea, haven't really gone to market in a big way, and they want to be able to pitch their idea and win a prize, win mentorship, and become known. It's Early Ethical Entrepreneur Pitch, as you said, because this is 100% about social good. It's run by an organization called the Moral Fairground, and their purpose in life is social good, social welfare organizations. So these are things that will make a positive impact on society and humans rather than necessarily looking to become the next billion-dollar unicorn. That's a great thing, but that's not the purpose behind this. It really is social good.
Well, that's the first time you've mentioned money, Maurice, which obviously is a good thing, billion-dollar unicorn. I think very often the billion-dollar words come right at the top of the explanation. So that pretty much explains this, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does. Look, money's not a bad thing at all. Everybody needs to be funded and make you know, quid out of it so they can survive.
Yeah.
The beauty of Gary's program and our program is that it requires very little funding in that sense, because as I explained, NDIS will fund those participants who are in it. It is a virtual space, so once we develop our program, the program can be used by multiple people without much additional cost, and the peer-to-peer reviews happen as and when we need them, so we pay for those people's expertise as we need them. So we entered late last year. There were about 3,500-4,000 entries for this festival. And it was whittled down to 7, whittled down to 5 for the evening. And I had the joy of being able to pitch the idea. I had 10 minutes to be able to convince the audience that this was an incredible idea and something that the judges, of whom there were 10, believe it or not, more judges than participants.
You must have got marks on presentation, not just the content.
Yeah, between you and me, yeah.
Well, you must do. I mean, a pitch means how convincing you are. And I've seen new videos of you doing your thing and you're bouncing off the walls. And it's all about that energy, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, it was. And I they thought it was a very good pitch. Yeah. So it certainly didn't hurt, but it was the product. It was the service that won it after all. Mm. They had the same thought as you've had, as most of them have had. It seems ludicrous that there isn't a particular set of practices or protocols or association or something for disability, people with disability who want to be entrepreneurs. Seems ridiculous, and it just has to exist, and it now does.
I love the sub layer in a lot of this stuff where you're basically saying there's no such thing as a bad idea. And I never forget the story you said about you did a pitch and was it pharmacists and they hated you, and then they all became best mates with you later down the line.
I did that last night. So I was actually I'm actually on the Gold Coast.
Same guy.
And I came in last night. It wasn't, but it's from that same. It actually is the evolution of that. So people that saw me. And I told them the same story. That 20 years ago, I was literally booed off the stage for telling them what I thought was the inevitable. And they're booking me, you know, consistently to tell other people the same silly message 20 years on, with a new slant on it, of course.
Well, that's interesting, Morris, because, I mean, looking back on it and analysing that first pitch that you probably thought, after you got some feedback, was a disaster, it says more about their ability to be flexible and change than your ability to tell them something they've not heard before. So it's in their court, really.
It is, and I didn't think it was a disaster, Phil. You know, when I got off the stage 20 years ago... I didn't because I knew I was right, and that's arrogant, but I knew I was right and where they were headed. And also, within an hour of getting off the stage 20 years ago, one of the people in the audience hired me. Yeah. So I knew I was on the right track.
Yeah, it's one of those great experiences, Morris, that I think you'll obviously never forget. It's one of those, you know, we've all got a handful of experiences or advice that somebody's given us, and it stays with us forever. Is that one of those?
Look, it is in many ways, but Phil, you know, I'm really blessed. I have so many, you know, worked in so many industries with so many clients. There are lots of those aha moments. And the aha moment is for, as you said, for the audience, for the people in there, to actually see themselves a little bit further ahead from where they are now and say, yeah, that makes sense to me. That's really where I want my business and my mind and my people to head towards. Mm. Now, when people take that on board and go in that direction, based on some advice I've given them or some insight I've given them, it does make me feel wonderful.
Well, let's just wrap up where we started with the early ethical entrepreneur pitch competition. What happens next, Morris? You've been recognised for your work, so what's the next step? What's going to happen?
Well, we won 2 out of the 4 prizes on the evening.
Yep.
And what the prizes give us is some cash, which never goes astray. More importantly, it gives us mentoring, so it allows us to pick into the mind for 6 months of a whole host of incredible social good mentors, and the networks that they have are most incredible. I mean, I know many of them, and I know what they're capable of. And it's one of those things, you know, you just need the right person to open the right door at the right time for you. And they are those people. So I'm really looking forward to, I think we'll be able to turbocharge this incredible idea, enabled VIP. You know, in the next 6 months, we'll be able to turbocharge it maybe 2 or 3 years ahead of schedule.
I hope you will. And as you all know, being an ideas guy, a bit of humility is necessary. So in all honesty, which of these people, those people, will you be focusing on? Where do you feel that your possible weaknesses are, or stuff that you could shore up a little bit?
Look, for Gary, it's absolutely the need for networking. This idea has to be told, and that's the big issue. Right. It's all well and good to say there's an idea, but if there's not a marketplace that's aware it exists, it really is useless. So that's what we need most of all, to get the message out to the broad community that there is the possibility of enabled VIP, that people with disability are just as important as entrepreneurs as anybody else, and there is a way to make that happen for them.
So who needs convincing more, people with a higher level of ability or the people you're talking to?
I think it's across the board. It is, for some reason, this misnomer that people with disability are incapable of many things. And, of course, nothing could be further.
People put 2 and 2 together and make 22, don't they, when it comes to this?
Yeah, and truly, I know it sounds horrible saying it outright, but that's usually the problem.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is to understand that if we can, like any human being, if we can give them the resources, the time and the effort that they need to get where they're going with their capabilities, extraordinary things can happen.
I'll tell you what, Morris, for all these years, you've given us so much of your time gratis, so I don't mind now and again sort of really plugging your projects. And this is one of those now and agains. Where can people go and find out more?
So it's morrisfuturist.com.
Take care, mate. Really appreciate your time today and exciting times ahead. Thank you very, very much. That's Morris Misolowski, live from the Gold Coast today. Yeah.